Good morning. Everybody doing all right this morning? Doing great. Good day. Everybody excited to be here? Hey, Aaron, when you were hitting those notes at the end, I was talking to Brian after practice. He said next Sunday during the service, sing off, you and Brian. Okay? You and Brian. He said he's in. Man, you're ready, right? Okay, singing lessons tomorrow. Let me just tell you, one of the things that I would love to be able to do is to get up here and to sing and to lead worship and everything. And just like what we're going to talk today a little bit about some things, God has not revealed that ability to me. It is something that I just can't understand. I give it my absolute best, but I don't get it. I'm lost. But, man, awesome job. I appreciate this morning. I'm excited to be here. The sun's out. I think it's like the first day in a while that I haven't seen rain. What a blessing to be able to worship with you guys. But it also is something, I think Jeff was saying the daffodils are coming out, right? And whenever I start seeing these flowers come out, it reminds me, it's almost that time of year for me. I got a question. My man Ben back there, I got a question. What's the greatest sport there ever was? Baseball. That's my guy back there, okay? Now, let me ask you, what's the greatest baseball movie there ever was? Rookie of the Year. Man, you're close. But I do know, my boy was down here. I've taught him well. You guys got to work on this. What's the greatest baseball movie? Sandlot. Come on, guys. We got to know it. And I bring that up for a reason. As we dig into our text today, like we want to relate some things that we don't understand. Raise your hand if you've watched the movie The Sandlot. Have you watched that movie before? Oh, a good baseball movie. It's awesome. And you remember the boys are out there? Hey, for me, that was like my inspiration that one of us would be like the Jet, you know, that we would grow up and one of us would go play pro and we could live out that life vicariously through him or whatever, you know. But in that movie, one of the greatest parts of that movie for me is the boys all get out there. And they're playing, and then all of a sudden, boom, we hit a home run. It goes over the fence, right? And at first, everybody's celebrating, but then they're like, oh, no, it went over the fence. What did you do? You lost the Babe Ruth signed baseball, right? You guys remember that? And across the fence was somewhere that we don't go. It's got the beast over there. We don't understand. We don't want to go across the fence because we have come up with these thoughts in our mind and everything that is negative and wrong, and we don't want a part of that, and we don't want to be there, and we come up with these stories. I remember in high school that there was the janitor's closet, right? And I didn't know that it was the janitor's closet. I just knew the janitor went in there all the time, right? And I thought, man, he's probably got some cool stuff back there. He's probably got like a TV and his own couch. And man, this thing's like decked out, looking good, you know? And one day I'm sitting there, I'm like, Leroy, did you guys show me how cool this janitor's closet is? Because I was expecting it to be his hangout spot. And I had made up all these thoughts in my mind, just like these boys in the sandlot had made up all their thoughts in their mind. And it ends up being something totally different that I couldn't have imagined. In my mind, I had made up that the janitor's closet was somewhere that I would like to go hang out with Leroy one day. And I come to find out that it wasn't. But I also know that in the movie The Sandlot, that once the boys find out what's on the other side, when it's revealed to them, how great is it? How amazing is it when they find out, not only do I have for you another baseball, you remember I have a baseball signed by the entire team, and then conversation about what baseball is, and then all of a sudden it comes to be a cool spot. See, we have this in all these shows, whether you watch Scooby-Doo or you watch any television, there's always this house on the street that nobody wants to know, and all the kids make up their own minds. right? And in that area, there's always some sort of serial killer or something terrible that goes on in that house, and kids go in there and they never come back out. Nobody goes through the realization that in that process, that if like 75 kids went into this random house and never came back, eventually, you know, somebody would go in there and figure out what's going on in the house. But we make up these things in our mind. Why? Why do we make up these things in our mind? Why do we become, because we don't understand them. We don't see them. We don't interact in them. And Paul here writes to the church of Corinth, says, he starts talking about why people can't understand God's word, why they can't understand the scriptures, why they can't understand and see what God has prepared for them. And the reason is because God hasn't shown them. They haven't been, they don't have the ability to see what God has in store for them. So let's dig into his word here before we get started and see what Paul's words, or what God's words through Paul, as we will learn in our scriptures today, what it is here. It says, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. It says, "We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except his Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your words here. I ask, as we dig into them, that you reveal to us, Lord, not only reveal to us, but inspire us in a way that we can go out and share that word, Lord, and then also take this word, these words, and illuminate them to us so that we can fully understand them, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just be with us today. Show us your plan and your will for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, as we dig in here we have Paul, and he's in this same situation. It says, "For we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age." If you remember last week, as we started in chapter 2, we kind of talked a little bit about how we get into this idea of our own wisdom, and this is our way of doing things, and the way that we want to do things, and this is the way that you fix stuff, and then we come up with our own ministries and our own ways that are opposite of God's ways, right? We talk about that and we say, okay, now if God truly wants us to be a part of his plan for our lives, if we are his, Paul says there's a reason that there is a distinct area there between the ones that have their own religious views and then those that have the relationship with Christ, right? And we've shared that several times here in the past week. Last week we talked about the religion of the church, or the place that we call the church, the building that we call, whatever it is. Now we got to get into the actual relationship and what it means, and how can you understand something that somebody else can't? How can you truly understand Christ? How can you know God's words here? It's because we're set apart. We are His. It says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature. And here, this word mature is a little different from the way that we speak it, right? Whenever we think of mature, we have some of us, I've been told most of my life that in some ways that I have some immature ways about me. I'm childlike in some ways, okay? Just because I like messing with my buddies. Luke, I like messing around, don't I? Been told that. But this is not the same type of maturity that we're talking about here. Because when you go back and you actually study the way that this word would have been used, there's a couple of ways that it could have been used. It could have been talking about maturity as in perfection, or it could have been talked about as being a part of the group, that you were brought in, that you are a part of the membership there, and that maturity would have labeled membership. Now, those are two totally different things, and I'm glad in this situation that it's not being used in a way that's talking about perfection, because I would definitely lack there. The only perfect thing in me is Christ in me. This human shell that I have is imperfect, right? I am going to fail. I am going to sin. And I am, if I use my own wisdom, there is no way that I can understand. No way. However, whenever it talks about that, or it says the word mature right there, and the wisdom that comes from the mature actually means those that are of Christ. Those of us that are saved, His people, we are able to have an understanding, a wisdom that comes from Him that others can't understand, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. It's not talking about, there's a difference. See, we think of wisdom as someone that's been through it and wise and they can figure out the ways, right? We think of these human standards. I was actually talking this morning, when we start using these words, I had a buddy of mine, we were talking about how we are elder-led, and I was talking to Ralton this morning, and my buddy says, yeah, you know, you guys are led by the old people of the church. And I said, wait a minute, just Ralton. Right? He's the only old person. No, that's not the way that we mean that word. It doesn't mean just because of your age that you're obviously that makes you more mature. Right? We've all been there. We've all been a part of it. We all know that some of the most difficult times in our lives have come with people that should know better, but they don't. You guys know where we got that, you know, that old crazy Uncle Kirill, or we've got that whatever that causes drama, that causes problems, and it doesn't matter their age. We're actually talking about that maturity and the fact that do they know Christ? So in this situation, when he starts talking about the rulers of this age who are coming and knowing nothing, they may be mature, they may understand. The kings may understand warfare, they may understand the political aspects of life, they may understand how to grow their kingdom physically, they may know how to grow the bank accounts of their kingdom, they may know how to produce the most produce to feed their people. They may know all of those things, but that is not the kind of wisdom that we're talking about here. We're not talking about a wisdom that just says it's going to benefit us here in this moment here on earth. We're talking about actual godly wisdom and godly maturity. Remember when I was talking about that sandlot idea? It wasn't until a young gentleman jumps across the fence and then goes into the house and actually speaks to and has a conversation with the gentleman that owns the house, until he comes into a relationship with him. And then the next thing you know, all of the things that he wanted to be a part of, that he thought was cool, that all of his friends, man, it actually starts to, it gets so much better than what it used to be. Because there is this intimate relationship. So for us to be able to understand what God has in store for us, we have to be of Christ. If not, we can't understand it at all. You can't understand things that you don't know. Now, we're not talking about whenever we get into this situation, when we're talking about what Paul's talking about, you know, we can't understand things that are greater than us, as many have said, right? And the thought process is, do we expect something like an ant to understand how humans work and interact and live life? Do we expect that? Do we expect that an ant can come to the process of being able to help heal our bodies or to be able to build things in order to conquer us or whatever way it is? Do we expect them to understand? No, they can't fully understand who we are. Why? Because we were built much more superior than they were. And in turn, they can't fully understand because their minds can't comprehend the way in which we were created. Therefore, how do we think that we can understand God and understand His ways and sometimes even say, my ways are, God, I know more than you do. We do that sometimes, don't we? We change our thought processes and in a way that we say, hey, I know what you say, but you got to live in the real world. That's what the world wants to say, right? You got to change your ways. Because God was talking for them back then, not of all time. Well, that's totally different here. See, the Corinthians were having that problem. They've gone into the situation where they say, okay, we get it. We get that you're saying that all of the things in the past, that we need to do things God's ways, but how can we understand God's ways? And Paul is saying the only way to be able to understand God's ways is to be of God, and the only way to be of God is to be created of God and for the scriptures to be revealed through us by God. Takes everything out of our hands. Says we speak God's hidden in wisdom in a mystery, not our own wisdom. His hidden wisdom, that is not that mysterious unknown is revealed to us through Christ. And why is it revealed to us? Why is it shown to us? What is the ministry? It's because God predestined us before the ages for our glory. He created us specially to be able to understand and be in a relationship with Him. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom. They only knew of themselves, is what He's saying. Because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We see that they don't understand it in the crucifixion of Christ. We see that they can't get there and can't understand. As a matter of fact, if they would have known that was actually the Messiah, I believe that they would have changed the way in which they did things. Because if they would have known, they would have known that He needed to be crucified for my sins and for yours, that He would have needed to take the fullness of sin upon Himself, then that He would have rose again. If they would have known those things, I think that a lot of us think that they would have automatically just said, okay, we're going to follow Christ. But that's not the case. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, I think they would have said, let's go the totally opposite way. Let's make sure this doesn't happen. We don't want to change our own ways, right? And you say, well, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you just follow Christ? Why wouldn't you just do what He said? Because for us in this world, we have these human intentions, and the Corinthians were going through the same thing. We don't want to give up that because that mean that we have to live in a more meek lifestyle, that we may have to care more about Christ and the other people and in following in His orders to build the kingdom and to love others as you love yourself and to do those things. I may have to give my life up, and I don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, if you go back in the 80s and 90s, there used to be a lot of debates between atheists and Christians, and we'd see them on TV. And the last big debate that we had was between Bill Nye and Ken Ham. That was a big public debate on Christianity, on why we should follow Christ, if he's real, and that sort of thing. And Bill Nye, the science guy, actually had a lot of backlash coming in on him for even having the debate. And the reason that he had all the backlash coming in to have the debate was that people were saying, well, if you have this debate, then it furthers their cause and takes away from our cause. So the best way to get away from doing that is don't debate them. We will still just tell everybody that they're crazy. But if you have this debate, it may reveal truth into Christianity. That was the actual fear, that if you have this, then we have lost. Whenever we come down, even scientifically, now we have lost. God has revealed so much to the community that we can't debate them. And if you give them that, then you are allowing people to know that we have lost. So let's just get away from it. So when Paul talks here that they wouldn't have crucified Christ, it's not for that thought process that everybody would have just believed Jesus. It's in the actual thought process that they would have done something differently to take Christ out of it and not go into God's plan. Because truthfully, not all of us really seek out God's will for our lives. We seek out our own glory. We seek out ourselves. See, God has revealed himself to us, his chosen people. His people, he has showed us himself, and therefore we can understand. Same way that the owner of that house in the same lot says, come in to my home, have this conversation with me. Let's talk about what's going on. Let's share in the ways that of the things of your life and of mine. Let me let you have understanding of who I am and not just fear. Not come up to your own ideas, but to my revealing of who I am. And he goes in and shares just a little bit more. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Whenever we're seeing this, Paul is actually quoting scripture to the Jews. And we saw that a lot in Hebrews. And Paul writes that in his ways and says, hey, these are things that you understand. Remember, they would have been followers of the Old Testament. So let's go back into Isaiah and let's quote. And these quotes come straight from Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 64. He's sharing with them. As a matter of fact, if we want to go back into Isaiah 52, starting at verse 15, he's quoting or referencing this scripture. It says, so he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told to them, and they will understand what had not been heard. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does for us? It allows us to see things that haven't been revealed to us. It allows us to understand things that haven't been told. As a matter of fact, a lot of people would have tried to claim Paul, hey, wait a minute, who are you to speak these words? As a matter of fact, we try to do that now in society, or society tries to do that. They say, why do you follow the scriptures? Why do you follow this and claim that it's God-inspired? These are just words written by man. It's one of the biggest arguments and debates that we have. These are but man's words, and you're following but man, and these words wouldn't make any sense, because if they were man's words, it's telling to set yourself aside, to make yourself meek and mild, to make yourself less than. This doesn't make any sense. That's an argument that we have. And Paul directly goes in that. He says, God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. Remember, the kings and king, and they didn't understand it because they couldn't see it. It wasn't shown to them. But these words here that are written are actually inspired. They're actually written down. Just as much as these words are written down, we have to understand that these are not Paul's words, but these are God's words revealed to him through the Holy Spirit, inspiring him to write these words down on paper. So when we read our Bibles or we read these books, we can say, who's the writer of 1 Corinthians? And you guys would say, Paul. But that's not entirely truthful. It's actually God's words that he used the Holy Spirit to inspire Paul to write down through Paul's hands. That's a totally different idea, right? That's a totally different thing. These are not of Paul's flesh that are written down, but of God's Spirit that uses Paul's flesh to write them down. Totally different. There is no argument there in saying, well, this is Paul's ideas. These aren't Paul's ideas, because I can promise you this. If they were Paul's ideas, it would look totally different. It would be something that would eventually try to build up Paul. Even if the way that he was speaking about it was like, I'm going to make myself less than so that you guys can look into me and build me up because I think of myself less than. See what I'm getting at? Sometimes we do that. Well, I'll set myself aside so that I look better to everybody else. I'll turn the other cheek, not for the purpose of loving Christ or obeying or loving my enemy, but I'm going to do it so that I show them up. Totally different. It says, now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except his spirit within him? So now we get into the situation of who has revealed these things to Paul. It says the Spirit. And we go into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And he's stating that who else would know God and what God's desire for us any better than the Spirit that is inspiring Paul to write these words? And the Spirit is God. As a matter of fact, has anybody here been married more than 20 years? Raise your hand if you've been married more than 20 years. Well, about more than 25. 30? Congratulations. So I got a question for you guys. Being married at least 30 or more years, you guys should know each other better than the rest of us should know our spouse, right? I mean, we should. You guys have been together the longest. So let me ask you, do you know, Denise, every single one of Brian's thoughts? It's not possible, is it? There's no way to be able to do that because you can't search the innermost parts of Brian. You think you know Brian. Brian, Denise probably knows you better than you know her. I'm just going to tell you. Our wives know us. They study us, okay? They know what we're going to do. But you may think that you know everything about Denise because you guys have been together so long, and yet there are parts of Denise that you'll never be able to understand or know. Why? Because you aren't in the innermost parts of her thoughts. There are things that we do to try to change ourselves, to make other people happy. There are things that we do whether we want to or not. There are things that we do for good or bad intentions. It is impossible for you to know someone, no matter how long you've been with them. It is impossible for you to know them in human standards because we don't have those capabilities. We don't understand that. But yet, it's saying that God's Spirit, God himself, is able to look in not only the innermost parts of himself in what God is and in what he needs to be, but also in the innermost parts of who we are. And as a matter of fact, I believe that God knows me way better than I know myself. Way better than I know myself. He knows the things that I tried to hide myself about myself, from myself, if that makes sense. Things that I do or don't like, the way in which God knows every aspect of that. He knows every aspect of who he is, and in turn, if he knows every aspect of every bit of that and reveals to us, then we are actually being revealed truth, not opinion. This morning I came in, I asked my wife, I said, you guys know that I've had some sickness, you know, going on, and I'm glad to say that I am approaching really close to the 50-pound mark that I've lost. It's in a terrible way. I don't recommend it. Don't want to go through that process. But a couple of these shirts, whenever I would sit down in the pew, they would kind of, I'll say form fit, okay? They used to form fit me a little bit better. They showed off my curves a little bit better. Well, this morning I got up and I'm trying to like put my shirt on and I'm looking and I'm like, this thing looks like I'm wearing an apron or something, like a parachute or something. So I go into my wife and I say, Nicole, I just got a question. Does this shirt look big on me? Because it really feels big. No, it doesn't look big on you. So I like, okay, I'm going to go back to the mirror. And I love my wife, but she's a liar. And I went in and I said, wonder what she was really thinking. And if I know my wife, she's probably like me, like, yeah, I got him. He's so going to walk in there today. It's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be awesome. But I don't know that because there are parts of her and her thought process this morning that says, man, I want to make sure my husband doesn't feel insecure up there this morning with his shirt that is like two or three sizes too big. Well, for me, little does she know, I don't really care what I look like. As you guys can tell by my normal attire. I just wanted to know. See, we have this tendency to say things and to do things even in our relationships that aren't always the fullness, aren't always truthful, aren't always honest, aren't always in depth. We can't understand, and in turn, whenever we have a lack of knowledge and we're trying to make decisions based on a lack of knowledge, then we can't make true, honest, good decisions. And in turn, when we try to find Christ, but we can't understand Christ because we haven't been revealed Christ through the Holy Spirit, we can't understand the scriptures that are inspired by Christ. So in turn, we start reading them in a way that doesn't glorify Christ but glorifies ourselves, and we start changing them, and all of a sudden that relationship that I talked about starts turning into a religion, and we start saying, man, if I do so many things, if I act in certain ways, if I set up in certain ways, if I wear certain things, if I read just enough of my Bible, if in a year, man, instead of reading my Bible once in a year, I'm going to read it twice this year, that's going to put me in a totally different level in heaven. We start making up these false things, these ideas, because we think that we need to understand them. Or we go the exact opposite way and we say, man, all that stuff is crazy. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. One or two things, if you don't understand, then you start making up your own religion, or you just say, that's crazy. I don't want a part of that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to fight that because it is so crazy, because I can't understand that. And Paul's saying, wait a minute. You that are sitting here today, and I'm here to tell you, if you're sitting here today and you understand who Christ is and he is your personal, your Lord and Savior, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, then that is because he has revealed himself to you. He has inspired you to do things that glorify him. You are his. You are in a mature relationship with him. You say, but I don't totally understand every aspect of everything. And Paul says, I can get that. I understand. But you do understand who Christ is. You do have a relationship with him. You do understand how to follow his lead whenever he inspires you. You understand how to submit to him. You understand who he is. And in turn, there's this third aspect that comes in whenever you read the scriptures and he reveals to you, or the word that almost every single pastor that I read this week and every study that I went through, we went through the word illumination. When the scripture is illuminated, when God's plan for our lives are illuminated to us, when we are shown. And I think of this idea. I'm into movies a lot here lately, but you ever seen movie National Treasure with Nicolas Cage? Have you guys seen that? And when he finally, spoiler alert, okay, it's a movie, but when he finally sees and he goes into where the treasure is, there's that small aspect where he walks in, right? And you have just a glimmer of something here and a glimmer of something there. He's found it, but he hasn't understood the vastness of it. There's this illuminating aspect when he walks in and then he places the light on, and all of a sudden, it's just the entire room is shown to him, and the vastness and the greatness and all of that is shown to him. The Spirit does that for us. We may come into a relationship with him and it looks like us walking into that room with just our one torch, right? And we walk in and we see the greatness, but we don't understand the fullness of it. But the farther that we get into a relationship with him, the more that he reveals, the more that we set down our torch into him and say, God, will you show us more? Will you illuminate more to us? The more that he gives us understanding, right? And he goes in here, it says, now we have not all received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us, so we can understand it, so we know that it's there. But now to understand it is a much deeper subject, right? We can say that Christ died for us, but do we understand what that truly means? Do we understand that God gave his son for us? He took on our sin for us, that he walked this earth in the same way that we walk this earth in our human flesh bodies. He walked in a human body on this earth and took the fullness of sin. He was God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people, explaining God's ways to God's people. He's claiming you guys are God's people because he has revealed himself to you. And now he is wanting to illuminate his word to you. He's wanting to show it to you. And not in the ways of myth and legend, not in the same ways. You know, it's totally different in that movie, in National Treasure. It's totally different than being told about the treasure and seeing the treasure. It's totally different about hearing about Christianity and seeing Christ. That's totally different things. One speaks of something that you're not aware of, and one speaks of something that is intimately involved with you in your life. One of those things is but a story, and the other is something that you can lay your hands on, that you can be a part of, that you can walk through, that you can talk with, that you can hear from, that you can speak with. It says, but the person without spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. Foolishness. He doesn't understand it. Therefore, it's foolishness. And it would be in every possible way, because we can't understand in our earthly minds and the things that we understand, we can't understand God's ways. They are so much greater than we are. And in turn, when we don't understand God's ways and we don't understand God and we don't know God, then it has to become foolishness, because that's the way that our human sinfulness relates, that it adjusts to that absence of knowledge. As a matter of fact, You guys look and see, and there's all kinds of people out that have been through life, and they're trying to go out, and they go through these gold hunts, right? And they want to go through, and you'll see them go to California, or now they go to Alaska, or they go to wherever, Australia, and they're trying to find gold, right? So they're searching out gold everywhere. And to us, it sounds ignorant. Because, hey, you know, what's the chances of you going, you're going to spend all that time and all that energy and you're going to go find $5 worth of gold, right? But I can promise you this, if we went down here to Watts Bar Lake and somebody pulled out a 10-pound nugget, there's going to be a lot of us down there searching for gold, right? Sounds foolish until you come into a relationship with it. Sounds foolish until you hold the 10-pound nugget. Christ sounds foolish until you understand and you can see and you can be there and you're in a relationship with him. I don't want any of that until you're there and you're in his presence. And Paul is trying to speak to the church. He says, be the church. You guys, if you understand it, know that you are chosen, that you are his. Be the church. Don't be of yourself. Don't be of the world. Don't be led by yourself. Don't be led by your own desires. Be led by the Spirit. And understand when you're led by the Spirit that those of us, when he uses that word us, he's literally talking about himself and the apostles that are being inspired to write God's word. Don't think that this is Paul writing this. Because if Paul was writing this, it would be flawed. He's saying, know that I am inspired by Christ. I am inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that, by the Holy Spirit to write this. So the Holy Spirit is writing this, not me. And he is using my hands. And in turn, because he has revealed it to us and now he has inspired us to write it, now he is going to show it to you. Are you willing to look? Are you willing to be there? Are you willing to know that when everything else is out there, when everything else seems foolish, when people don't understand, that this is still truth? It says, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. It says, who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? Martin Luther has a quote, and although simple, it's revealing of his knowledge of Christ and his knowledge of the scriptures. It says, the Bible cannot be understood simply by study or talent. You must count only on the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you dig into this Bible, into your Bible, and you go for the purpose of saying, I'm going to allow the human aspect of myself, my own mind and my own ways and my own thoughts to get me to understand this, you can't do it. But I'm the greatest scholar there ever was, and I can study and I can read and I understand different languages and I understand the culture back at that time, and I understand, I've even read some of the things that were written in other ways that talked about Christ in all those ways, but you don't have a relationship with Christ, you cannot understand this. And he's saying to the church, don't worry when everybody else out there says go this way or go that way or you're dumb for believing this or you're foolish for believing this. They're only saying that because they don't have a relationship with Christ. Stop allowing them to influence you. Stop allowing them to dictate your ways. Stop allowing your doctrine to be the doctrine of the world and allow it to be the doctrine of Christ. Stop allowing the way in which you speak about Christ or the way that you preach about Christ, the way that you proclaim the gospel to be in a worldly way. Stop changing the gospel in a way that betters it for society in a worldly way, but do it in a way that shows Christ in everything that we do. Show Christ first. And he ends, but we have the mind of Christ. If you are saved by grace, because of Christ alone, you have that faith. The Spirit tells us that we have the mind of Christ. we have the ability to understand. We have the ability to know what his scriptures say. Not only has he revealed it, but he's inspired it, and now he's showing it. Are we willing to look? Let's pray. Lord God, I come to you today and I thank you for your word. I thank you for allowing us to gather today to be here to glorify you and not ourselves, Lord. And I just ask in everything that we teach and everything that we speak and everything that we do and everything that we have knowledge of, that it is all of you through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we are of you. Lord, that every word that we speak is but your words, Lord. Allow us to glorify you, not in our own understanding, but in your understanding that you have revealed to us. Allow us to dig into the scriptures and to be shown and for them to be illuminated and for us to be able to go down and to place our hands into those treasures that you have for us to be able to place our hands into you, into a relationship with you, for us to be able to know you and to see you and to hear you and to speak you, Lord. Lord, I ask if anyone here today doesn't know who you are, that you place it on them, that you place it on their hearts, that you give them the wisdom that can only come from you to allow them to give their lives to you, Lord, to allow them to know that you sent your son here. Lord, you sent Jesus here and he freely climbed upon that cross, Lord, and he bled out and took the fullness of sin for us. Lord, and that you also showed us that he was the Messiah with an empty tomb 3 days later, Lord. I ask that you reveal to us, that you illuminate to us what your desire is for our lives and who you are. Allow us to not go in the ways of the world. Allow us not to have understanding of the world, but allow us to know only Christ and to have that mindset and that knowledge of Christ alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.